Hello and welcome back to another episode of Bases Loaded. I'm your host, as always, Eric Ellefson, and on this week's episode we have a NFL Conference Sunday recap with the Eagles and Chiefs winning their respective conference championship game to go to Super Bowl 59 that will be on February 9th in New Orleans. We will also be doing some NBA trade deadline hot seat kind of kicking off. We are like, I think we're about a week, a little over a week, like 9 days from the deadline. That I think is like, I think it's like 4 Eastern, maybe 5 Eastern, somewhere around that time frame in regards to, you know, getting those trades in, as we have the Jimmy Butler saga with the Miami Heat continuing. He was suspended a third time Monday after leaving a team shoot around early. So we'll see, you know, if anything happens, you know, with that trade in, you know, a little over a week. We'll get a little bit more into that later. And then we have some Major League Baseball. We'll go over the Hall of Fame voting with the Hall of Fame class for this year being announced, like, right shortly after I was done recording last week's episode. So we'll go over the class as well as some kind of free agency offseason moves that happened this past week. And then maybe, you know, a little time, we'll do some college basketball as well, as we're about, you know, a little over a month from conference tournaments, you know, happening. And then we're about, you know, less than 2 months from March Madness. So yeah, kicking right into it with NFL Conference Championship Sunday recap. We had the NFC Championship, which was the first game that Sunday afternoon between the Washington Commanders and Philadelphia Eagles, with the Eagles winning 55-23, which was a little bit closer than what the score would say if you just saw it right now. As I mean, Washington was in it for a little bit. What pretty much killed them was turnovers. I think they had like 5 as a team. Like, they fumbled the opening kickoff. So that kind of, you know, how that went right away. And then, like, Philly had a, you know, Saquon Barkley had a rushing touchdown of like 60-some yards, like right after that, like the Nets play. So put him in a hole easily. Let's see. Jaden Daniels had an interception. And then Austin Eckler, Jeremy McNichols, and De'Ami Brown all had fumbles, lost fumbles. So 4 turnovers. I thought there maybe was a 5th, but maybe I'm mistaken. I thought there was a 5th, but I guess there was just 4, so kind of took him out of it right away. And like, they got back in it, because I know they put like, that's not what I want to see, game cast without giving it, because they got within like 2, like, or no, they had a field goal. Okay, no, it wasn't the opening kick. It was like, they did have a fumble at one point on the kickoff for, on the kickoff, because the opening drive, they got the ball, I think Philly won the coin toss, you know, elected to defer. And, you know, they marched down there. They converted, like, I think two fourth downs. And then on, like, the third, fourth down, opted to hit the field goal. Then Barkley had two rushing touchdowns. The first one of 60 yards and then a four-yard rushing touchdown. You know, make it 14-3 Philly at the first quarter. And then Washington came back. Another 46-yard field goal by Zane Gonzalez. And then Terry McLaurin had a 30-yard touchdown pass from Daniels. And then they missed the two-point conversion that would have tied the game. And then the first of Jalen Hurts' three touchdown rushes with... They also tried to do a two-point conversion to make it a 10-point game. It was 12-20 at the time, you know, trying to obtain two possessions. That failed. And then A.J. Brown had a touchdown pass, and then another field goal for Washington closed out the first half. And then we had Jalen Hurts, another rushing touchdown, this one of 9 yards. The first one was a 1 yard, probably a tush-push that Philly likes to do. Then Jaden Daniels had a 10-yard touchdown rush and then converted on the two-point conversion. And then, so that made it 23-34. And that was, you know, the closest Washington got for the rest of the game. And then it was all Philly from there. Scored 21 points with another touchdown rush from Hurts and Barkley. And then the last touchdown, a Will Shipley 2-yard rush. So Daniels finished 29 for 48 for 255 yards with a touchdown and interception. He was also the leading rusher on 6 carries for 48 yards and a touchdown. And Zach Ertz led all Washington players in receiving with 11 receptions for 104 yards. Jalen Hurts, in his second game back since missing the last two games, pretty much almost three games, with a concussion, finished 20 for 28, 246 yards and a touchdown. Barkley, the leading rusher, 15 carries, 118 yards and 3 touchdowns. And then A.J. Brown with 6 receptions for 96 yards and a touchdown. I don't think... And then I don't think Philly had a turnover. Nope. Obviously they recovered the 3 fumbles. They ran 229 yards as a team. You know, over half that coming from Barkley. And then we had 7 receptions for 85 yards was Dallas Goedert. And then 4 for 45, Devontae Smith. And then Kenneth Gainwell and Barkley combined for 3 receptions for 20 yards. Defense, 3 sacks, 4 tackles for loss. 8 QB pressures, 4 QB hits for Philly. Quinion Mitchell, the interception of Daniels. And going to Daniels, he was, like I said, 29 for 48 for 255, touchdown and interception. And then Tress Way was their punter. They converted on a fake punt. I think that was the second quarter. It was still pretty early. And, like, you know, Washington trying to keep the game within reach, not let it get too out of hand. I mean, obviously didn't later. And like, you know, the third and then fourth quarter ultimately. But, and then, you know, rush for 99 yards as a team with almost half of them being, you know, from the quarterback Daniels. Brian Robinson Jr., 11 carries for 36 yards, and Austin Eckler, 15 yards on 8 carries. So, not a very, you know, balanced attack with the rushing. Because, like, when they played, like, was it a month ago or so? Maybe a little over a month ago when Hurts left the game with a concussion in the first quarter. They put up, like, a lot of yards on this defense. And, you know, had, because then Daniels led, like, the fourth quarter, you know, drive to, like, go ahead and win the game. And then, you know, from there, and then, like I said, Zach Ertz was the leading receiver for Washington. A former Eagle helped them, you know, win their Super Bowl last. Right? Yeah, he should. Boy, maybe it's not going to give me it. But, yeah, he was with them when they won Super Bowl 52. You know, lead receiver of 11 catches, 104 yards, 16 carry or 16 targets, more than double Terry McLaurin in 7. Finished, you know, 3 catches for 51 yards, a touchdown, 7 targets. You know, gotta have a little bit more. And then, so Ertz had the most targets, and then McLaurin and then running back Austin Eckler were second with 7 apiece. So, defense, 2 sacks, 5 tackles for loss, 4 QB pressures, 3 QB hits. So, I mean, for a team like Washington that wasn't really expected, you know, to be in there in that position, you know, drafting Daniels such an overall and, you know, hiring a new coach and kind of some new front office and, you know, front office members, I should say, as well, you know, to go to the conference championship game is, you know, a pretty great step in the right direction for the franchise moving forward. I mean, you know, it's pretty much going to be them in Philly probably battling out for the division, you know, for years to come. Maybe, like, you know, the Cowboys, you know, if they can, you know, they're going to need much more of an, you know, more active offseason than they did last year to kind of get back into playoff contention. I mean, obviously, Dak was injured, and they didn't really, they were relying on, like, you know, bringing Ezekiel Elliott back and, you know, stuff like that for running. You know, they don't really have another number 2 receiver out, you know, to go with Lamb, CeeDee Lamb, as number 1. So it's kind of, you know, their question in New York, obviously Giants rebuilding. They have, like, 3rd pick in the draft. 3rd overall pick. So, like, you know, a ways, you know, considering how it started and how it could have gone, you know, expectations for Washington to go that route pretty darn good in the first year of, you know, Daniels at the quarterback. And, you know, to build on that for the next season and years to come. But, like, and we'll get to the AFC Championship game shortly now, but, I mean, I watched, you know, the AFC Championship game, and then I pretty much turned it off by the end, because it was like, you know, Philly was up so many points that, you know, it was pretty much over. I mean, if Washington didn't, you know, have those four, you know, turnovers, you know, that kind of helped keep them in the game a little bit. But ultimately, you know, they were just overmatched. And, you know, call it maybe like nerves or stuff like that, but like they just kind of didn't execute their game plan as much as they would have liked. And, you know, in the playoffs, especially NFL playoffs where it's one and done, you know, that's not the mistakes you can make. I mean, maybe you can have like one turnover, maybe two, but you kind of get over more than three, you know, it's kind of, you're digging yourself a hole that it's going to be hard to get out of. And now moving to the AFC Championship game, where my Kansas City Chiefs win the AFC title and advance their third straight Super Bowl with a chance to win the first ever three-peat in NFL history in the Super Bowl era, and did it on the bats of, you know, number 15 Patrick Mahomes, as always, who had like used a lot more of his like rushing and leads than you would have, you know, than you're probably used to seeing him. He doesn't run, you know, crazy, you know, he's not Hurts and Daniels and Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, you know, running around and doing these QB, you know, design runs and stuff. Though he did have one and, like, you know, had, like, I don't know how far it was, 10-yard rush. And touchdown. That was, like, read option, kind of design running play for him. Just kind of insane because, like, he doesn't, like, he had a couple. I think he had like one or two rushing touchdowns in the regular season, and then, you know, two in this game, which is like his, I think it's his first playoff game with multiple rushing touchdowns. So we'll get a little bit more in depth into this game as it was a little bit more, I would say, you know, competitive. Obviously, it was 32-29 Kansas City. You know, back and forth, you know, drives and stuff like that. Not much. I mean, there's only, let's see, there was one, two, three lead changes, and then one tie over the course of the game. So a lot more, you know, competitive as to pose to the NFC game, which, you know, come third quarter was pretty much over. And, you know, the Chiefs just have it in them. They have that championship DNA. You can complain and say it was the refs and it was stripped all you want, but you just sound like an idiot. Like, they're not going to beat you. And if they do make a mistake so that you don't capitalize it, well, then it's game over. You're not going to win. You had to be somehow more than perfect. Like, Allen played pretty darn well. We can go over the stats. 237 yards. He was 22 out of 34 passing. Two touchdowns. No picks. He added, let's see, 39 yards rushing on 11 carries, you know, designed runs or not. And then James Cook with two touchdowns on 13 carries for 85 yards. Whoa, huh. 85 yards, and then so rush for 147 as a team. pretty average as to what Kansas City's been allowing. You know, they're, I mean, the Super Bowl's gonna be among two of the best defenses in the league. I think Philly is ranked one, and then Kansas City's maybe third or fourth. Like, I think they're in the top five. And then, I mean, Josh Allen did almost have, like, some lost fumbles. He did recover them all. He had three fumbles. You know, he recovered all of them. Ray Davis. Is that a running back? Yes. You know, recovered another one. And then Ed Oliver did recover one for the defense, the lone Kansas City turnover. Trying to do like a RPO, I think, or read option type of thing. And the ball kind of got, he was trying to do the exchange. Or, you know, reading the defense run pass option to, it was either, I think it was probably Hunt. His potential didn't carry a lot. I think he had like five carries. He had five carries for 12 yards and then did have like two catches. Yeah. Plenty of big one in the fourth quarter that we'll get to. And, you know, Matt Collins, three catches for 73 yards and a touchdown led all receivers on four targets. And James Cook was the second leading receiver with three catches for 49 yards, three targets. And then, let's see, with Keon Coleman, their rookie receiver, only had one catch for 12 yards on four targets. Dawson Knox only had one target, a catch. Curtis Samuel had one catch on three targets. It was a touchdown. Wide open touchdown, blown coverage by Kansas City's linebackers. I think Tranquil. That's where he was kind of like, you know, tapping and be like, that's my bad, that was on me. But like, they didn't get him. And then defense. Two sacks, three tackles for loss, one QB pressure, seven QB hits, you know, and then that's kind of it. You know, they went for a bunch of like fourth downs. They missed one that it looked like they had, and then got was eventually called, you know, a turnover on downs, Kansas City's ball. They, you know, did a replay review, looked at it, the calls stand as called, and then I think on that drive, Kansas City went down and tied it, or they took the lead, and on like the field goal, and then, I mean, it looked like it, but, like, maybe, you know, in those replay booths and stuff like that that they have in, like, replay centers. I don't know if I've seen inside the NFL, but I know I've seen inside, like, Major League Baseball's in, like, New York, and they have, like, so many cameras and all kinds of stuff, so I don't know what, you know, maybe they saw something in one of those, you know, crazy angles that they can get on all the, one of their TVs that they have, that they saw something that, you know, live, you know, that the TV broadcasts didn't have. So, I mean, but, like, I mean, if you were going to do that, I mean, the safer call would probably be, like, you know, maybe a little option rollout, like, with a running back or a tight end, like, try and slip and get past a, you know, linebacker and get, like, a couple first downs there because they would just go for it. You know, QB runs with like sneak on with Allen, and like you kind of know what's gonna happen, so like you gotta kind of change it up a little bit. And they knew it was coming, they knew like Eli did like go over like the left side of the, you know, center, and that just kind of makes it a little easier to defend. And then also, like, you know, probably some of those times, you know, maybe instead of like going for it, you know, hit the field goal or like punt and try and play the field, you know, the field position battle and not try and go for it all the time, because, you know, if you don't get it, you know, you're pretty much not necessarily giving the game to the Chiefs, but you're giving them a golden opportunity to go down there and, you know, this is now the fourth time that the Chiefs and Bills have played each other in the playoffs, you know, in the era of Mahomes and Allen being the quarterback, and Buffalo is 0-4. In the regular season, they are 4-1 against them. You know, the thing is, like, you know, they beat them in the regular season, and then come playoff time, Kansas City beats them. You know, this time, you know, it was at home last year in the divisional round. You know, they beat them in the regular season. They got home field advantage, you know, being the higher seed. And, you know, they couldn't get it done. And, you know, back in that, you know, that 2017, you know, NFL draft, like, Buffalo could have drafted Mahomes, like, they were there, and they let Kansas City jump ahead of them with a trade and drafted him. And then last season, you know, they had 28th pick, Kansas City, having won the Super Bowl, you know, the last pick in the first round. You know, they called Buffalo and they arranged, you know, a deal that allows them to trade up four spots. And then, you know, they draft Xavier Worthy, who ran the fastest 40-yard dash combine time in NFL history. So it's like, I don't know what you're doing there. Like, why are you trying to, you're just kind of helping them out even more at that point. So it's like, you know, Buffalo kind of has done it to themselves and not being able to capitalize. And, you know, the Chiefs, even like that, you know, like that first drive for Buffalo, like, Allen probably should have been picked off, like, twice. Like, there was two times it didn't get happen. I kind of got deflected and into the hands of a Kansas City defender. And I was kind of like, every time I was like, ah, the ball, like, you didn't really expect the ball to, like, get deflected his way, and then couldn't react. And then I think that was second, because they ran it on their first play, got like 4 yards, and then didn't get anything else that drive and punted. And then, yeah, so going to Kansas City side, Mahomes was 18 for 26 with 245 yards passing, one touchdown, no pick. He did lose a fumble. And then Mahomes also added 43 yards and two touchdowns and 11 carries on the ground. Kareem Hunt, 17 carries for 64 yards and a touchdown. Then Xavier Worthy added two rushes for 16 yards. He was the leading receiver. 6 catches for 85 yards and a touchdown on 7 targets. Juju Smith-Schuster had some big catches, you know, 2 catches for 60 yards. Hollywood Brown, you know, making his postseason, you know, presence felt for Kansas City. Travis Kelce, only 2 catches for 19 yards. One was on that drive to get that field goal, go-ahead field goal. He had, like, a first down catch, 11 yards. Samaje Perine, who had the conference championship ceiling catch for 17 yards. Same bounds and iced it. Isaiah Pacheco had 2 catches for 12 yards. One was, like, he did have, like, a first down catch on that, like, after Buffalo failed to, like, convert their fourth and, I think it was, like, 4th and 5. That would get to pretty close pretty shortly. That was kind of, like, the last deciding factor. And then DeAndre Hopkins one catch for 11 yards on two targets. So they're not balanced. Like, you know, they don't have your Tyreek Hill anymore. I mean, they have Worthy, who's, you know, probably faster than Tyreek. Like, I don't know who would win, like, a 60-yard dash or 100-yard dash type of competition race, you know, but... And then, you know, their best receiver from last year, Rashid Rice, went down against the, you know, Chargers. And that was, like, week 4 or 5. So then, like, you know, that, you know, got them to make the trade for Hopkins. Does Hollywood Brown down, like, injured in preseason, so didn't play until, like, the last 2 or 3 games of the regular season. And then, you know, had the fumble loss, defense, 2 sacks for, and 3 tackles for loss, 3 QB pressures, 8 QB hits. So not a big, like, defensive, like, sack and stuff of that performance that they did against, you know, the Texans with 8 sacks. But, you know, it's a lot of a bend don't break defense, and, you know, defensive tourist Steve Spagnuolo and Spags we trust, you know, didn't really send much pressure the entire game, and then just when they didn't expect it, he sent, like, a cornerback blitz on 4th and 5. Allen, you know, adjusted the protection to slide left, just slid right, as that where, you know, the cornerback blitz and pressure came from. He almost got it, and he still somehow got the pass up into the air, and it, like, hit Dalton Kincaid, and he, you know, ultimately dropped it, turnover on downs. And I mean, but, like, the game wasn't even over. Like, they still had, like, their 3 timeouts. So, like, Kansas City, you know, wasn't out of the clear yet, but that was kind of, like, the last thing, like, because of, like, it just kind of proved that, like, you know, the football gods and sports gods are just cruel sometimes, because, like, if that's Mahomes throwing that ball, you know, and, like, it's Kelsey or, you know, maybe, like, Noah Gray or another tight end, you know, they'd probably catch that for some reason, because that's just how it goes. And, you know, they do what they need to do. Kind of were able to, like, disguise that blitz pretty well. And, you know, now they're going on to the Super Bowl for a three-peat. I mean, they're probably going to win, I think. I know it's like, you know, we'll do more of a Super Bowl preview next week, but, like, I see no reason why they can't win. They're just have that team of destiny to them. And, like, Philly is good. You know, they haven't really thrown the ball back much. I mean, Hurst has been asked to throw it a whole lot. But I don't, like, for, like, Kansas City, I don't think they've allowed a whole lot of, like, you know, rushing, like week one against, opening week against the Ravens, you know, Derrick Henry only had 13 carries for 46 yards. Let's see, who else has good running backs? 49ers, did McCaffrey play? No, we don't, I don't think he played. No. Still injured. What did... So the first time Bills and them played, like, James Church only had... He had 9 carries for 20 yards, 2 touchdowns. Allen had 12 carries for 55 yards and a touchdown. That sounds like, what did Mitzen do the first time? Mitzen, like, they don't really allow much, like, rushing yards per game. That's not what I just see the regular season. There we go. Okay, here we go. Points per game. I want to see defense. Is it going to give me like defense? No. Maybe. Why is it not giving me like defensive? Okay. We're not doing it that way, I guess. Okay. So. But you know, I just really want. If they win three in a row, it's not gonna top, you know, finally seeing my Cubbies win the World Series after 108 years, but like this is definitely gonna be number two. Because it's gonna make people so mad. And it's like I was mad too when you know the Patriots were making it all the time. And it's the same thing. People are tired. Because like, you know, they keep, you know, making the Super Bowls and, like, winning them and stuff like that. And, you know, clearly that's just, you know, some kind of conspiracy that's scripted and it's rigged. I mean, they lost two games this year. I mean, I don't know. If it was scripted, I feel like, you know, they'd be like, well, they're going to win three in a row. Let's make them go undefeated. Because then, you know, you'd have an undefeated season. You'd win three in a row, which no one's done. You know, Tom Brady, the person Mahomes is chasing, won back to back. So, like, that makes, like, his legacy even more so. But, you know, yeah. You gotta get used to it, because, like, you know, you've heard of the Taylor Swift Eras Tour. Well, we're on the Mahomes Era Tour, and this, yeah. You didn't buy tickets, but you better here to enjoy it. You might not enjoy it, but you know, this tour is gonna be going for another decade plus, so you better get used to it, because it's not going away anytime soon. Because he doesn't have, like, you know, he doesn't need a receiver like. Because if he had a receiver like, you know, not necessarily like Tyreek Hill, because he has like Worthy, so we have like a speedster. If he had like a Jefferson, Jamar Chase, or Justin Jefferson, I should say, Jamar Chase, CeeDee Lamb, Amon-Ra St. Brown, it would be game over. That'd be more of a cheat code than anything. So, you know, we'll do more Super Bowl preview next week, but, you know, I'm pulling for him. I know Philly just put 55 on Washington, but, like, Kansas City's defense is a lot better than Washington. And I think that might have been the most. Let's see. I mean, they gave up 38 points to Denver, but, like, none of their starters really played. I don't think any of their starters played, really. 20. So, Cincinnati scored 25. Tampa Bay 24. Buffalo 30. Carolina 27. So the teams that put the most points on them has been Buffalo, who scored 30 in the regular season, you know, when the starters played. So, you know, I don't see him scoring that many on them. And, you know, we'll preview it next week, but moving on to NBA. Like I said, trade deadline is just a little bit over a week away. Like I said, Jimmy Butler's been suspended a third time. And we'll see exactly what happens. I think it was like, I don't know if I talked about it last week, but like Utah and Phoenix made a trade in which Phoenix sent their 2031 first round pick to the Jazz, and then the Jazz in return sent three first round picks to Phoenix. I think a 2025, 2027, and then 2029 first round picks. like the worst of, you know, a couple teams pits type of thing. And so the kind of thing is like, you know, that they're going to try and use those pits to acquire Butler from the Heat. We'll see how that happens. You know, I think there's been like talks, you know, he's done with team, because he said he wants to trade. I don't know how much, you know, behind the scenes in, you know, owners' rooms and stuff like that, much of a talk has actually been happening with the Suns and Heat to make that happen. You know, just this afternoon, I got something about like the Kings are open to up to the idea of a trade of De'Aaron Fox, their point guard, who has 1 year left on his contract before becoming a free agent next summer. There's tons, I guess, that the Spurs, I said the Spurs are at the top of his list of like preferred landing spots. So we'll see what that has to do. I mean, there hasn't been anything crazy, you know, yet. And then, I don't know if I talked about it, but I kind of forgot that there's been like some NFL like coaching hires and stuff like that. I mean, maybe we can do that next week type of thing. I'm already approaching like 40 some minutes, and let's kind of like to keep it in the 40 minute range or like 30 minutes. That's a podcast, so you can't, we're not doing an hour and a half long true crime or, you know, anything like that. So I try to keep this a little bit more contained. As a series, I should say. So, and then, I don't know if there's been any other, I don't think there's been any other trades. No, maybe not yet. So, I mean, see how that goes. I mean, we might not have anything that happens over the next week anyway. It's like a lot of it kind of helps. Starts ramping up, like, maybe we'll see something. You know, maybe the Jimmy Butler, you know, situation comes to resolution, or, you know, maybe it goes up until a trade deadline, like the very end. So we'll see. And then lastly that I want to talk about is baseball, as we're about, was it probably like 3 weeks away from pitchers and catchers reporting. My Cubbies made another trade with the Houston Astros, acquiring reliever / closer pitcher Ryan Presley, and then they're also taking out some of his salary, and then we're sending like a pitching prospect to them in return. Also, we signed John Berti, kind of utility man, infielder. It was kind of reported, but now it's like official. Same with like the Presley trade. Like, he was reported, I think, Friday, that he was going to waive his no trade clause and allow them to, the Astros and Cubs, to work on a deal. And it became official today, I think. So, and Berti, you know, bench player depth type of thing. So and then they've announced, like, you know, their prospect list and stuff like that for the year, and the Cubs have seven, an NL nationally best seven prospects on the top 100. So get ready, because we're coming. And then this is a thing for, and when I play, I mean, I play MLB The Show, baseball, video game. And I get that every year. It's like the one sports team I pretty much get every year. They announced, like, the cover athletes for MLB The Show 25 and some of the kind of young rising stars in baseball. Paul Skeens, Jonathan Henderson, Ellie De La Cruz. With the trio being on the cover with the 20 to celebrate the 20th anniversary of MLB The Show. And then comes out March 18th for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series S, and then Nintendo Switch, with first edition coming out in came out in 2006 with David Ortiz as the cover athlete. So, pretty fun. Things, I mean, they're all, like, says Ellie De La Cruz is 20, turned 23 in early January. Henderson is 23, and then Steens is the youngest at 22. So, pretty fun. Looking forward to that, and what, you know, new legends, stuff like that, they have a name, because it was, like, 23 of the show they had. My favorite player as a kid growing up, Sammy Sosa, in the game, so that's pretty exciting. Yeah, that pretty much wraps, I think that wraps up, like, this week's episode. Didn't get a whole lot into college basketball. I mean, we can do a little bit more of that kind of next week, as, I mean, you know, we only have one, you know, NFL game left this season. That's not for another 12 days. So next week's show is a little bit doing me more kind of open to stuff, because then, like, the week after that, obviously it'll be pretty much most of the Super Bowl recap and stuff like that. But yeah, so that wraps up another episode. Thank you for listening, and have a good one.